All right, good to see everybody this evening. It's always good to come together to worship God as a church family, so I'm glad that you all are here. John chapter 5 is where we're going to be this evening, starting at verse 1. John 5. We are continuing our Sunday evening series looking at the miracles of Jesus, and we're specifically looking at those miracles that we find in John's Gospel, the Gospel according to John. John 5, 1 through 6 is where we'll start. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in the condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" So there's the first few verses of John 5. And just a couple of notes as we start moving through this story. First thing is, perhaps as you looked at your Bible, you noticed that verse 4, there's a good chance in your translation that that verse is omitted. Perhaps there's a footnote next to that verse with the verse on the bottom of the page. So we have to ask the question, why is that verse omitted? If you look at it, it's kind of interesting. I'll go ahead and read what it says in that verse. It says, paralyzed, and they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. That verse is not in most manuscripts, and it's not in the best, in the oldest manuscripts. It was a later addition by scribes, perhaps to explain what we're going to see here in just a few moments in verse 7. There was, scholars have noted that there does seem to be some sort of tradition with this pool that caused so many people that were paralyzed or disabled to congregate at that pool. But as I mentioned, most of the scholars believe that this verse is a later addition. The best manuscripts do not include verse 4. So Jesus, he sees this man, and he learns that the man had been in this condition. He was an invalid for 38 years, for a long time. And Jesus asks him a very interesting question. He asks, "Do you want to get well?" We'll talk a little bit more about that question later in the lesson. But allow that question to sort of bounce around in your mind as we move through this. Do you want to get well? Here's the man's response, verse 7. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred." There it is. "While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." So the man, in his response, has a pool in mind. Now, you would think that the man's response to a question like that, "Do you want to get well?" would be, "Absolutely, I want to get well," right? Isn't that what we would respond with? "You know I want to get well." But you have to think, why does Jesus' question, "Do you want to get well," why does it sort of make sense in this story? I think one of the things that kind of will help us with this question and this man's response is to think through the fact that Jesus was asking whether this man was ready or not to be defined by something other than what he had been defined for 38 years. He had come to be defined by his condition. All the time he sat by the pool, and as the waters were stirred, as he says it, he couldn't make it there first, right? If people helped him, he still wasn't able to be the first one that would go. Day after day after day, this man was reminded of his condition. Do you want to get well? Well, I don't have anybody to get me to the pool. Here's a question I think we all need to think through. Is there a pool in our life that comes to mind when we think through the question, do we want to get well? I think what we see oftentimes in culture, and perhaps even in our own lives, is that we have pools in mind when we think about healing that are other than God or Jesus. So we see in our society that alcohol becomes a pool for people. Do you want to get well? Perhaps this bottle will help me. For so many in our society today, do you want to get well? Well, I don't know, but I know I'm going to sit here on the computer and look at pornography. That becomes a pool. For some, it's shopping. I'm going to go to the store. We even have a term for it now, shopping therapy, right? Do you want to get well? And the pool becomes shopping. There are so many other things that come to mind when we think of these pools that we see. Do you want to get well? I just can't get to the pool. That for that mind, in his limited thinking, was the only way that he was going to get well. And isn't it ironic? The one that could bring him true healing was standing right before him. Verse 8, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. So Jesus healed the man. This is kind of unexpected, right? The man's response was half-hearted. Well, if I could get to the pool, maybe I'd get well. But Jesus, in that moment, in this man's, not even really faith, Jesus just speaks a word of hope, a word of healing to him. Get up. You can walk. Pick up your mat and walk. It was kind of unexpected. Now, the second part of verse 9. The day on which this took place, John tells us, was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. Now, let's not miss what's happening here. This man was an invalid for 38 years. And the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders that were there, they're upset at what takes place. For 38 years, this man was an invalid. He is now walking. And the Jewish leaders say, rule breaker, you're in the wrong. Don't you know it's the Sabbath? And you have to think that this man at this moment is thinking, okay, I can walk. This is amazing. And in that moment, they say, rule breaker, how dare you do something like this? Don't you know that the law forbids you to carry your mat? Verse 11, but he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So the man, at this time, he goes like this, Jesus, that's why I'm doing this? He's the one that made me well? He's why? Talk to him, take it up with him, not me. So they asked him, verse 12, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Verse 14, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. A question to ponder. The man had picked up his mat, and he was walking around. He was noticeable healing. But was he well? Adeline thinks yes. Was he well? Was he healed? And my answer to that would be yes and no, partially healed. Were his legs made strong? Was he able to walk, perhaps even to run? Yes, he was. But when Jesus and this man have this interaction with one another, Jesus says, "See, you are well again." He's been able to walk. But then he says this, "Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Recognize, in other words, what I think Jesus is saying is recognize that you have the opportunity to come to know the one who can make you well physically and spiritually. Stop sinning. Come to me. Follow me. Know me. Learn from me. Find the spiritual cleansing that can come through me. Verse 15, the man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. So the man goes and he recognizes Jesus, and he goes over and he says, "It's Jesus. Here he is." Now, a little confession here. I have always read this negatively. Have you? I've always read this negatively, and I started to read it some more. And here's kind of what I came to. Maybe, perhaps, this man wasn't tattling on Jesus. Could it be that this man who had already interacted with the Jewish leaders, could it be that he saw this as an opportune time to go back and proclaim who Jesus really is? We don't know. We don't know the contents of what he said. All we're told by John is that he went to the Jewish leaders and told them it was Jesus who made it well. Could we read that in a positive sense? You see my legs? You see them? Let me tell you who made them so I could walk again, so I could run again. Perhaps we could read this in a more positive light than at least I've tended to do over the years. Verse 16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. And we're not surprised by this. We know how the story goes. Verse 17. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." It's like dropping a bomb right there, right? Talking about the Sabbath in this way, "My Father is working and I am as well." So we know Sabbath is linked to creation. It's what God did after his work of creation was done. He stopped. I think one of the things that John's trying to get us to see here is that God, through Jesus, is doing something new. And it's exciting and meaningful and profound. God is bringing new creation through Jesus, new life, a new way of working. And again, it's meaningful. It's profound. There's hope, salvation, the eternal life, and God's kingdom is coming to all people. So we think of Revelation 21. I want to kind of look there real quick. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. John continuing to write his revelation, his vision. He writes there, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as bright and beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" This future that John sees in Jesus was coming to the present. Look there at the verse 4 again. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So God is working in a very profound way in Jesus, bringing about this new life, this new creation. A word that we could use for it is restoration, doing something very powerful. And the Jewish leaders, so they see this happening and say, no, this is not how things work. It's not how it works. He's not the Messiah. He is not who he claims to be. Jesus is doing something powerful, and he's testifying to it. He's witnessing to it as he looks at a man, invalid for 30 years, and he says, get up and walk, doing something very profound. So we, as the followers of Christ, have the opportunity to be witnesses to this Jesus who brings new life. We have the opportunity to be participants in the life-giving mission of God. And so as we think about this sort of on an individual, personal level, first we think to ourselves, do I want to get well? Do I understand where healing and hope and life comes? We recognize that it comes through Jesus. And then as we interact with others, we ask a question to one another. Do you want to get well? And even with those that perhaps don't know Jesus yet, we're thinking, do they want to get well? We might even ask them the question in one way or another. Do you want to get well? I know who can make you well, offering you life, eternal life. And then this, for many of us, we're like those Jewish leaders. God does something new, exciting, profound, and meaningful. And what do? Rule breaker. That's not how things work. Don't you know the law? You're the Messiah? The Messiah is the one who healed you? What were they going to say? Stop walking? Would they have reversed the miracle if they could have? Or at least say, that's awesome that you can walk, but wait till tomorrow to actually utilize your legs that you haven't been able to use for 38 years? For so many of us, I think we fall into that category. God does something new, exciting, fresh, profound, meaningful. And we say, that's not how things work. But doesn't he surprise us every day? That we have new life. The sun comes up again. We have breath. We see what he does. I see what he does in my life. I see what he does in your life. It's a God that continues to give. It's a God that continues to surprise. For many of us, instead of saying, that's not how things work, perhaps we should step back and say, wow, God, wow. Continue to surprise. Continue to blow us away. That's our God. He's surprising, exciting, continuing to wow us. So that is the story. All of us need to reflect on the question, do you want to get well? We have the opportunity to ask that question to others. Do you want to get well? I know who can make you well. And this God continues to surprise. And we're so thankful for that. If there's anybody here tonight that needs the prayers of the church family, as we do every Sunday, we want you to know that you can share what's on your heart with us. It's safe with us, and we'd be glad to pray with you, share your burdens together. We strive to be a church family that just loves one another as we walk in this journey together. If there's anybody here today that wants to get well, that desires to put Jesus on in baptism, we'd be so glad to witness you do that. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our God.